George Carlin.
Hey, baby, what's happening?
We got assholes, scumbags, jerk-offs, and dipshits. And they all vote.
He was funny, he was smart, he was opinionated.
I wanted to be just like him.
He was just so cool.
Here's the list of words you can't say all the time.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
And the crowd goes crazy.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
They arrested me for profanity.
The Supreme Court restricts the broadcast of dirty words.
I'm gonna jump to it right now. He's the Beatles of comedy.
I began this dream of standing in front of people and having their attention.
My mother was his biggest champion. She just had a way of lifting people up and believing in them. They were comrades in arms, but then what happened was superstardom. My mom was alone all the time. She's feeling left behind, and now the drugs are there. And that really did undermine everything in our family.
I did as much cocaine as there was in the immediate three-county area at that time.
He had collapsed in on himself.
My career began to wane. I had to find my voice.
In 1988, we were going to go to the show to laugh at him because he was this older comic, and Carlin came out with like a howitzer.
Now they're thinking about banning toy guns, and they're going to keep the fucking real one!
He didn't want to be that George Carlin anymore. He wanted to be a different George Carlin.
What I really was a rebel.
Can't educate our young people, can't get health care to our old people, but we can bomb the shit out of your country, all right? Come
on, arise and win. Stand-up's the hardest thing. He did the hardest thing for the longest time.
He was challenging society to be better.
Life is sacred? Who said so? God? Hey, if you read history, you realize that God is one of the leading causes of death.
George is still relevant. He changed comedy 3 or 4 times, and he's still talking to us.
Things that he was getting at were so profound to the culture.
What would you do if you were the planet trying to defend against this pesky species? Viruses.
They try to divide people so that they can run off with all the fucking money.
Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation.
It's the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Oh. So, good evening. Welcome to the Dr. Seuss Film Podcast. I'm trying to find some footage because something happened. If you've been living under a rock, that wonderful documentary came out in May. It was, for me, it was an event. It was Friday night. I watched it, and then, you know, I had a little fun, and then I had to finish it on Saturday because you can't, you know, you can't focus when you've had a little fun. But that was May 20th, I believe, and here we are, September 6th, and something happened at the Emmys. Something wonderful happened. And first and foremost, those who are involved with what happened, you got to give thanks to Kelly Carlin McCall. You got to give thanks to Judd Apatow and Michael Bonfilio, E.P. Teddy Leifer, Joseph Bichen. Now I got to get it out. Bichomkonski, Amanda Glaze, and producer Wayne Fetterman. This was amazing. And I'm trying to look for the speech. Kelly Carlin accepted the Emmy, along with those who helped to bring this documentary that won for Best Outstanding Documentary or Nonfiction Special. It was amazing. I'm so happy it won. Awards don't matter, but in this aspect, when it's a documentary about probably the one of the greatest comedians of all time, the Dean, they called him the Dean of Comedy. Kelly Carlin said this: I want to thank my parents, Brenda and George. A couple of things my dad would want to say to you tonight, one of which is remember to take care of each other and go fuck yourself. Oh my God, this documentary. Now I know people who haven't watched it yet because this is true. You have to get into the mode. You have to. That's why it's an event. You have to get ready to watch this documentary. And I got ready. I psyched myself up that week up until it premiered, and I thought, oh, geez. And I psyched myself up. And I absolutely loved it. I loved it. And it was pretty it was pretty raw. It was raw. Because, yeah, it starts off with the fun, and then, you know, something happens. And cocaine and a lot of shit went down, and emotions, and people died. Brenda Carlin died 25 years ago. And I you know, I really dived into that story when I got a copy of Kelly Carlin's a Carlin Home Prairie or a Home Companion, and listened to it throughout the pandemic, and it was intense. And I sent her a message, and she thanked me for it, where I said, your book got me through the pandemic. I said, you know, I now have a new kind of window into what it was like for you, and what it was like, you know, being the keeper of your father's flame. So when was it, the 19th or 20th? Yep, it's the 20th. Here we go. And that was me watching it and filming it, because I'm such a nerd. And I loved it. I loved it, and I'll watch it again. I mean, my question is, what is it going to come out on DVD? Because, you know, sometimes I want to have the physical copy. I have his best of, called My Stuff, which is his main, you know, his specials. And George Carlin really changed the landscape of comedy. I mean, you know, he started out as a hippy-dippy weatherman, and then boom, counterculture. And that really, that made a real difference in people's hearts and in his heart, because I think hippy-dippy weatherman, he felt he was playing a parody of himself. He wanted to be freer, you know, be the real George Carlin. This documentary is epic, okay? And I think about 2 years ago, I had my cousin on here on the Dr. Seuss Film Podcast, because he met George. And like many, he said George wasn't always on. That's the thing, is people always expected him to be funny. But when he got on that stage and he let it rip, oh, fuck. Yeah, he let it rip with 7 words that you can't see on television. And A Place to Put My Stuff, and talking about abortion, and talking about, there are memes of him. He was a meme before it was a meme, you know, and we quote and we look at his stuff as very prophetic. And he had given up on society a long time ago. And I saw an interview where his daughter was saying that he gave up on society very early on. And then and she was like, but I still have to live in it. And he said, well, the country's fucked. The planet will be fine, but we're fucked. And I mean, if he had lived to see COVID, but then again, he probably saw it coming, you know, with germs and infectious diseases. And my thing of it is, and I've told people this, is that I think, you know, people want to trash this planet and go to another planet, and it doesn't work that way. We are a consumer nation. We're a consumer planet.
we take things and we throw it away. And then we got pack rats. I'm kind of a little bit of a pack rat. I mean, if you saw my room, it looks like a hippie lives here. And I'm not totally a hippie, or maybe a hippy-dippy weatherman, but I don't, you know, give you the weather. I mean, it's hot as fuck right now here in California. And global warming. And I was talking today at work, and we were talking about Carlin, and I said he was naturally smart because he knew language. You know, he knew the ins and outs of language, and he studied it. And his mother, I think it got a little of that also from his mother, because his mother was an advertisement person. And then his father was a comedian or funny, and he also, you know, gave really good speeches. So he was an orator, and he had that in him. But this documentary, I mean, oh my God. Like I said, it was an event. It was an event. And I know a few people who haven't watched yet. And I understand now. It's because you can't just put this on. You have to be ready. You have to set aside some time, and you have to be ready, because this is a two fucking parter. And I wanted to do a show on this, not just the fact that it won an Emmy, but also to thank Kelly Carlin McCall, because that's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to be the keeper of both your father and mother's flame. So then when people ask you questions about them, you can only give them so much, because there's a part of it that you have to retain for yourself, because that's their legacy. So, and I can understand it. And I, you know, if people want to bombard Kelly with questions about her father, and I think at the same time, a lot of those unanswered questions are in his art, in terms of how he saw things. I mean, if you don't know George Carlin's stance on things, since you haven't watched his specials, and you haven't watched how he distrusted both sides of the coin, both, you know, political sides. Joan Rivers said something very interesting in her documentary, A Piece of Work, that we're going to honor George at the Kennedy Center. And she says, this is everything that George wasn't. He hated the establishment, which is true. He hated the establishment. Yep. So Joan Rivers made, that was a good point she made, because what would he have had? Would he would have accepted it? You know, go to Washington and accept this posthumous honor as a ghost. I think we always kind of ask ourselves, what might have been if he were here now? Okay, he would be 85 years old. All right. Be 85 years old, and he probably wouldn't be doing stand-up anymore. He'd probably be writing books. But then again, he's George Carlin. That's like saying Lemmy Kilmister would still be here in his 80s. No. When you are in that business, you look at someone like Lemmy Kilmister, who did sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and didn't regret it, and lived to be 70 years old. And then you look at George Carlin lived to be 71 years old, okay? And he had a ball. He had a ball. And maybe that was his purpose for 71 years, not for 80 years, not for 90 years, not for 100. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say. You know, some have said, oh, he burned the candle with both ends. He didn't just burn it. He ripped it apart, okay? He stood out there, and then what I love about this documentary is it's the different parts. You know, it's, okay, he meets Brenda, and then he gets into comedy, and then she basically is his manager and his publicist, and it was a family circus. And then Kelly comes into the picture and is born, and things totally change. And then Lenny Bruce. So it's the beginnings in the 70s, and toward the end of the 70s, he felt burnt out. And then the 80s, everything changed. So, yeah, and his health, and the 90s were a renaissance for him. They were a renaissance because, you know, if you think of, I remember hearing about jamming in New York, and that was 30 years ago in 92. So George Carlin, I mean, he's been gone since 2008, 14 years. And I remember when he died, and it was just, it was startling. It was startling. And then talking to people who met him saying, nope, they saw it coming. They saw it coming. And I will always, I mean, just be in awe of him. Recently, back in April, his older brother, Patrick, died. How old was Patrick? Okay, here we go. Okay. Patrick, no, or that was the fall. Oh, yeah. Patrick Carlin Jr. It's funny because they both had Patrick in the name because, you know, George was George Dennis Patrick Carlin. Maybe a little of that was the confirmation name, too. You know, if you're an Irish Catholic, it's the confirmation name. I was baptized Catholic, but I didn't have a confirmation because I didn't do it. Yeah, Patrick Carlin died in San Jose in April of 2022. Okay, he died April 16th at 90. So he had a long run. He was one of George's closest confidants in growing up and in adulthood, and then helped him write and helped him produce. And you know, him and Kelly were the keepers of the flame. But I wanted to talk about Jammin' in New York, because Jammin' in New York, that really brought him back. Okay, it was George Carlin's 14th album and 8th HBO special, recorded on April 24th, 25th, 1992 at the Paramount Theater on the grounds of the Madison Square Garden, New York City. Topics include the war in the Persian Gulf, similarities and differences among average Americans, and language used at airports. The album won a Grammy Award in 1993 for Best Spoken Comedy Album. Yep. On-air HBO promos of the live broadcast on April 25th, 1992, referred to the program as George Carlin Live at the Paramount. The show is for Sam appear. This is a reference to comedian Sam Kinison, who had died in a car crash 2 weeks before the recording. Carlin considered Jammin' in New York his favorite and best HBO special. And that's why I wanted to talk about that, is how it was a renaissance for him. It was a renaissance because he had been written off. And if you hear in that trailer, Bill Burr talking about how in 1988 they were going to go make fun of him because he was this older comic and he had lost his way. And he even said that he lost his way, and how Jammin' in New York was his resurgence. He was back. And what better than to have it in the place of his birth, New York. So, you know, I'm not going to really play any more clips, but George Carlin, I mean, come on. I know people who are scared of him. Those are usually people, you know, on the far right. Some on the far right love him. I mean, you know, I have friends who are on the right and they love him. And then there are those who just don't like anything liberal, and that's fine. That's fine. That's what you want. I always find it funny people like that. Like I had mentioned Burning Man, they said, oh, it's too liberal for me, and yet they're posting pictures of like a hideaway. And I thought, wait a minute, you know, a liberal came up with that. A liberal came up with that. Liberals love, you know, nature. So if that's too liberal for you, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. 2022 two-part documentary about the comedian George Carlin, part one is at the dawn of the 1960s comedy scene. A clean-cut Carlin works the bland variety show circuit, but soon realizes he was meant for something edgier. He trades his suit and tie for blue jeans and finds that his eloquence and sometimes brutal candor resonate with counterculture audiences. Propelled by sales of his 4 gold album comedy records released on Flip Wilson's Little David label, appearances on talk shows, and frequent touring, Carlin becomes a major comedic force of the 1970s. Part 2. In the 1980s, Carlin faces major challenges. His audiences are shrinking. Some critics deem him passé, and his family is suffering because of his cocaine use and his wife's alcoholism. He approaches his marital material with a new vigor and fills comedy clubs and large venues with his insight and increasingly critical observations about politics, life, and human behavior. Yep. It was beautiful, it was powerful, and it so deservedly earned the Outstanding Documentary or Nonfiction Special Emmy. It was also nominated for Outstanding Directing for a Documentary Nonfiction Program. It should have won. Outstanding Picture Editing for a Nonfiction Program. It should have won. Outstanding Sound Editing for a it should have won. Outstanding Sound Mixing. It should have fucking won. And it is nominated for Television Critics Association Awards, Outstanding Achievement in News and Information. It's also nominated for Best Streaming Docuseries or Nonfiction Series, George Carlin's American Dream. And we know why it's called the American Dream. Because he said, it's called the American Dream because you have to be asleep to realize it. That's true. That's true. Trust me, I'm not trying to do his impression. But I love this documentary. And I wanted to talk about it because it's so profound. So it really deservedly so won that Emmy. It really did. And I want to thank everyone that was part of the making of this documentary. But first and foremost, we have to give thanks to Kelly Carlin McCall. We do. And thank you. Thank you for sharing your father with us, but also sharing your insight into life, into humor. And he would be very proud of this documentary. And I know I was proud, because I'll admit something to you, my audience. The reason why I couldn't finish it on May 20th is because I took an edible. And so I'm watching it all the way throughout it. I realized, oh shit, I think I just had a minor stroke. Anyway, I realized, oh shit, I can't finish this because when you're on those things, you can't focus. So I just went to sleep. And then the next day, went and had Mexican food. And then I came back and I finished it. And it was out of this fucking world. So that's the Dr. Seuss Film Podcast. You can find George Carlin's American Dream on HBO's app, their HBO Max app, and it should be on DVD and Blu-ray soon. So as always, unpleasant dreams and go fuck yourselves.